Mark chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on their way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7, and he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also shall be set before them, and that they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmatia. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. To which verse? All right. No worries. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And then cautioned them, saying, Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken bread of pieces did we take up? They said to him, 12, and the 7 for the 4,000, and the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, Do you not yet understand?
Thanks, Eric. That's perfect. I originally texted it through to him as 13, and as I was reading, I thought it's going to make more sense to put that little bit extra in. I'm not sure if you've ever had the situation where you've tried to explain to someone and they just don't seem to get it. So you try another way to teach them, you try again, and they still don't get it. Roger, the other day when I was down at his work, he was rattling off about some computer stuff and about this and that, about why the server doesn't do this, and I was just like, I don't know what you're on about. I had no idea what he was talking about. And often we're like that. We just don't get things. Thinking myself as a parent, and I know we got parents here, we often are teaching our children the same things over and over again, you know. Eat with your fork, you know, or do this, do that, you know. Always going over the same thing, sometimes in different ways, and we end up finding out they still don't seem to learn. Until finally, at some point, they seem to get it. What do you do when people just don't get things? Can you, frustrated? Can you think of a recent situation where you simply, you know, you had someone who just didn't get something and you just went, I've had enough, I'm just going to give up. You know, I'm just so impatient with this person. And did you give up because they were unwilling to learn, or because you just simply threw them in the too hard basket? I do not have time to deal with this. Well, today we're going to see that Jesus is the one who is patient in teaching those who he calls his disciples. That Jesus is the one who, through his power, gradually opens our eyes so that we can see who Jesus is more clearly. So just as we've read that bit in Mark, I want to give you a quick overview of where we're going to go today and paint the picture. So in Mark 8:1-10, we see Jesus testing the disciples in a situation of no bread, and there was 4,000 people, so Jesus tests them with the 7 loaves of bread. I have no idea why that is doing that.
We've been connecting up just that one through there, that lead there, that way seems to have a problem, so we've been doing that with
the... Oh, okay.
That's why we had 4-point lead
running somewhere. Yeah, they've changed all the leads and it couldn't... Anyway. See, does that work better? Now you got that out? No problems? Okay. So we see Jesus from 8 in 1 to 10 testing the disciples. He's there, there's 4,000 people and there's 7 loaves of bread, okay? And they're sort of, what do we do? Mark 8:11-13, the Pharisees come, they come to test Jesus. They put Jesus to the test by saying, we want a sign, mate. And then 14-21, Jesus gives the disciples another opportunity to have a retest, this time with 1 loaf of bread, as we saw on the boat. And now we see also later on, we'll get to, which is 22-26, Jesus uses a gradual miracle to reveal who he is really to the disciples about their blindness. And then finally, as we get to the end, Peter gets it, verse 27-30. So that's sort of where we're heading. But what we just looked at in that passage, the disciples have this crisis. There's 4,000 hungry people and only these 7 loaves of bread. And like us, when a problem hits, we normally panic. We normally feel a bit overwhelmed. But think about this. Jesus, the disciples have been journeying with Jesus for some time. They have seen many great miracles Jesus has done. And now they're faced with a situation that would require another miracle. And so Jesus is using this circumstance to test them to see if the disciples really get who he is. Will they fail or will they pass? So Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion on the crowds. And if they didn't eat, they were going to faint. They'd been following Jesus for 3 days. And this crowd was mostly Gentile people. So they were outside the covenants of God, as Israel was at that time. Whereas the 5,000 earlier, they were mostly Jews. So Jesus has compassion on these Gentiles. So we get a little bit of a glimpse of his compassion to all people, okay? But Jesus wants the disciples to learn. He wants to see how much they've learned so far. So not only is he showing compassion on the crowds, he's also bringing about a lesson for the disciples. He's teaching them. So like I said, so far Jesus has already fed the 5,000, which is most likely 8,000, okay, 5,000 men. Jesus has also calmed the storm. He's also walked on water. He's also raised people to life who were dead. He's also had power over the demonic. He's also healed many sick people. And the disciples are still asking Jesus the question, what are we going to do? There's not enough bread. There isn't enough bread to feed all these people, verse 4. I wonder how you would have responded to the problem-solving exercise. Are we any smarter than them? How do we look at everyday problems we face? Maybe it's the panic. Well, what are we going to do, Jesus? You know, like the disciples, this task is so big and we have so little. We don't have the resources. We can't do it. And just look at this location, it's pathetic. We can't do anything here to feed the people. That's what they say. Yet Jesus has done already so many miracles in front of their very eyes. They were first-hand witnesses to his power and authority on many occasions. And yet they still don't get it. They still don't understand. And so Jesus uses this circumstance to once again test them to see if they understand him, and they fail. You can almost hear Jesus saying, here we go again. Haven't I already shown you enough times that I'm enough? Haven't I already shown you these things? But isn't it like us? We often look at the problem, maybe the location, and look at everything and we write it all off as just too hard. Or we look at the person. This is too hard. And we get overwhelmed and we fail to see Jesus as the solution. Interesting enough, as I was writing this sermon Friday, Saturday. Yesterday I opened it up and 600 words had gone missing out of my sermon. Something went wrong. 600 words. And I was just like, that 600 words was articulated words. It took me about 3 hours to do that. That was 3 hours lost down the drain. Okay. So, and I just went, oh, it was like about 5 o'clock. I was going to finish it off, spend another couple of hours on it. I was just like, oh no. I was annoyed. You can ask Kath, I was annoyed. I was frustrated. I couldn't recover them. I was ready to throw it in, deciding on whether I should just chuck in a download sermon. It was just felt like it was all too difficult. And all I could think about is just like, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resource. I just can't do this. And I started to look at the problem, and then I started to realise what I'd been studying. I started to realise that this is exactly what's happening here. And I started to think about who Jesus is. And I said to Jesus, you have this. Help me finish this talk so people will know you more. So I began to depend on him as the one who was the solution. And I realised that actually Jesus is bigger than my Word document and my Acer computer, or the church's Acer computer. I realised that in this circumstance, Jesus was also testing me as he was also testing the disciples. And like the disciples, we have this default setting to look at everything from this human perspective. And rather than see Jesus involved in it, we go, I've got a problem, and we start to panic. We do it all the time, don't we? Rather than trust Jesus. Verses 5 to 9 onwards, you know, Jesus talks about how many loaves they've got. They've got 7. He sits down the crowd and they even have a few small fish. And Jesus blessed it and fed them. And there was pieces left over. 7 baskets full. And there was about 4,000 people. And so once again, Jesus does this miracle. Reveals who he is, performs this great act of feeding 4,000 people. And he shows to them what he can do with 7 loaves of bread. You know, it's about 1 loaf for 570 people. And there's still leftovers. They were satisfied and they were full. And I love reading that. Satisfied. Not like they were like, oh, gee, I'm still hungry. They were satisfied. Now, you would think at this point, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, which is probably 8,000, the other day. Maybe it's a month ago. We don't really know. 2 months ago. Why are we concerned about 4,000 people getting fed? We have bread and we have Jesus. We're okay. We have all we need to get the job done. You would think that's the kind of thoughts they'd be having. You'd think that's what they'd be thinking. Of course, we would think that, wouldn't we? Because we're so highly intellectual and theologically smart. Oh, yeah, now we get this, Jesus. Yeah, you were there like before. But as we will see, they don't. But before that happens, another group comes onto the scene and they want to test Jesus. They're the Pharisees. They want to argue with Jesus. So verses 11 to 12, the Pharisees, they demand a sign. They come to Jesus and begin arguing with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Okay? And he sighs deeply in his spirit. He says, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. You know, they come to Jesus with this puffed up arrogance to argue, and they want Jesus to dance to their tune. And they want to put Jesus to the test, they want to put God to the test. And they want to see if Jesus will pass or fail. You know, come on, Jesus, prove yourself. Then we'll give you the tick of approval. And Jesus just says, I just don't get it. You don't get it, guys. I've already proven myself over and over and over again. I don't need to make myself accountable to your test. And Jesus makes it clear that you won't believe in me with another sign. You just won't. You don't get it. You should be following me, not testing me. You should be believing what's already revealed, not demanding more proof. And so they failed the test because they wanted to put Jesus to the test. They had their own set of exam papers and they said, here, Jesus, fill these out. And he said, it's not going to work, guys. This is not how life works. This is not how I work. You got it around the wrong way. You need to be listening to me and bowing down to me. And many people we meet are like that, don't we? When it comes to Jesus and Christianity, they come to argue. They argue and they fail to see Jesus. They try and put God to the test. You know, God, if you're real, come and do this. And then I'll believe. But Jesus says even with a miracle, after miracle, they'll fail to believe. And we see this with the disciples. They're not believing. They're struggling. And you can't sit there and say to God the Creator what he ought to be doing to prove himself. It's just not going to work out. Okay? So it's interesting that the Pharisees come, they seek a miracle for the wrong reason. They come to Jesus for a miracle for the wrong reasons. Yet the disciples almost believe that Jesus is able to do a miracle for the right reasons. So there's this sort of two little things happening here. And often we're like that. You know, we either come to Jesus asking him the wrong reason for to have a miracle, or we don't believe he can do a miracle for the right reasons. And so Jesus is continuing to teach the disciples, and he's continuing to teach us. But as we'll see, and the good news is that although Jesus gives up on the Pharisees, he says, you've had enough. He doesn't give up on the disciples, those who want to come and follow Jesus. He doesn't give up on them. Even though it must have been frustrating and hard to continually teach them the same thing over and over again to grow these guys, he was graciously patient. And that gives us hope, because that means he's graciously patient with you who don't always get it, who don't always understand what Jesus is doing. Often we are slow to learn and grasp who Jesus is. So then we come to verses 13 to 21, and there's another situation. This is test number two, that's what I call it. Will they pass or will they fail? So Jesus, he left the boat, they went to the other side, and then one of them's talking about, oh look, you know, we've only got one loaf of bread for the boat, and there's 13 of them, including Jesus. You know, what are we going to do? They began discussing the fact with one another that we have no bread. You know, sort of like, who's the fault here? You know, we've got no bread. What's going on? And Jesus says to them, I'll read the passage out, 13 to 21. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? You know, so once again, Jesus brings them into this situation, not enough bread. And what happens to the disciples? They fail again. Now, I reckon if most of us were the teacher in that situation, we would say, enough is enough.
2 + 2 = 4. Yeah.
We would be saying, enough is enough. I cannot go on. I am sick of teaching you people. If it was a staff member at your workplace, would you go, oh, that's okay. We all make mistakes. Or would you go, and kick him out the door, or she out the door? Notice Jesus. Gracious and patient as a teacher. Certainly frustrated by their lack of not getting it, but patient. There's something about Jesus' method of teaching and discipling here that blows me away. Because I know that when I'm teaching others, when I'm teaching my kids, that I get annoyed at repeating things. That I get annoyed at teaching the same thing over and over and over and over again. And yet Jesus is doing this with adults. with men. Men who were going to be apostles, except for one of them. And Jesus never gives up until they can get who he is. See, I'd be saying, are you serious? Are you kidding me? After everything I've taught you and shown you so far, you just don't get it. I've even warned you about the disbelieving heart of the Pharisees and Herod, and you still just don't get it. Didn't you see with the 5,000? Didn't you see with the 4,000? And now you're worried about a loaf of bread getting on a boat. And you're complaining about who's at fault and arguing about this loaf of bread. And like Martin said, they just didn't do the maths, did they? It's going to be okay. You have Jesus plus one loaf. It's going to be okay. I mean, I don't know about you, but I used to, you always feel a bit intimidated and hate exams at school, tests. And my guess is, but someone will be a teacher, that they're designed to see if you have really learnt what's being taught. And so far, Jesus has used all these circumstances to test the disciples so that they would grow and see and believe who he is. Jesus isn't trying to mock them, make them look stupid. He wants them to trust him. He wants them to beware of that unbelief that will rise up, just like the yeast of the Pharisees and the Herod. He wants them to be cautious in their heart, but the disciples fail the test. Fail the test. Look at verses 17 to 18. Look at all those things Jesus lists out. You know, why are discussing the facts that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or do you not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? Just failing to see who Jesus was. They had not perceived. They had not understood. Their hearts did have unbelief. Not quite like the Pharisees. They failed to remember all that Jesus had done already and taught them so far. The miracles upon miracles. It wasn't about the amount of bread, it was about Jesus. The sufficiency of Jesus. And how often are we like them? We forget that we know what Jesus has done already in our lives. We know that Jesus can do great things, yet we fail the exam when the problem comes. Just like the disciples, we look at the problem rather than seeing Jesus as the solution. We see one loaf of bread rather than who's in the boat. And do we see Jesus as do we believe Jesus to be greater and bigger than our problems? Or do we see that there's not enough bread? Think about the disciples. They've been with Jesus for years. I don't know how many, maybe two. I don't know. And they still couldn't see Jesus properly. All they could see was a problem. Or the blame game. Start pointing the finger. You know, so we often do, don't we? Can't solve the problem. There is a problem. Point the finger. Start blaming people. Maybe you've been following Jesus for many years, and you still fail the test to see Jesus right next to you in your life right today. The good news is that although we fail, Jesus never gives up on us. If we follow him, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of Jesus, and he's loving, he's compassionate, he's patient, gracious, as he teaches us and grows us. And so Jesus continues on another lesson to teach the disciples. He performs a miracle, and this time it's the healing of a blind man. And this miracle, this natural miracle, parallels the spiritual blindness of the disciples. So I'm going to read that passage, 22 to 26. And then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on his head, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not enter the village." So Jesus could have instantly done a miracle here. He could have restored the man's vision straight away, but Jesus chose through the man's disability to show the disciples their disability, that they weren't seeing Jesus clearly. The man had a physical disability and the disciples had a spiritual disability. But it was Jesus who's involved in all this. And so Jesus will soon change how they see him. It would take a miracle for Jesus to do this. But Jesus was at work taking their blurry vision of who he is to a clearer picture of who he is. And that's what Jesus does with us. It's a gradual process often. We are growing and growing. And now Jesus is ready for the big question, the big exam to his disciples. Jesus wants to see now, are they clearly seeing him? Who is Jesus? So verses 27 onwards. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. I would imagine that as Peter heard that question, that he would have stopped for a moment and thought about his time with Jesus, and thinking about all the different things. His eyes are starting to open up. He's starting to see things a bit more clearly. And he started to remember what he's seen, what he's heard. Now the calculator's adding up. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who God promised. Jesus is the one who has God's authority and that one day would redeem his people. At last, Peter sees Jesus. Now most of us know what happens in the next passage. After Peter gets who Jesus is, he failed to understand that Jesus needed to go to the cross and die for our sins and rise again. So Peter got part one right. We didn't get part two right. Took a while for him to get that. Okay, that's a sermon for another day. But I wonder, as I read this passage, I want to think about what we can learn and take home. What we can learn and take home as we see Jesus in our lives. Well, let's think about the problem. There's not enough bread for disciples in the crowds. Maybe your life is a panic like the disciples. Often we don't have enough. We look to point the finger to find out, point the finger. Well, the reason why is because someone forgot the packet. Or we try to find quick solutions to figure it out. And we worry about not having enough. We stress because we're failing to see Jesus. Struggling to trust who Jesus is. We know Jesus is there, but can he actually make a difference to the problem? And so like the disciples, we forget who Jesus is. The emotions kick in. We believe that Jesus just can't do it. And we doubt and fail to trust him. And so our vision is blurry. How often do we run around wanting this and that, thinking that we don't have enough when Jesus is on the boat? So do we get who Jesus is? Do we see clearly who Jesus is? I think other times we know Jesus on the boat, but we're so focused on the problem that we just cannot see it. We cannot see and we fail to see Jesus. There's nothing outside his ability or his control. There's nothing beyond his power of help. And Jesus is so impressive, how could we not see him? Jesus is so powerful, how could we not even trust him? And yet, like the disciples, we often fail the test. And we are so blessed to have a gracious God. But it also means that every day as those opportunities come our way, Jesus wants us to grow through them. He's bringing them our way and sometimes repeating them and repeating them because he wants us to grow. This is done in grace. This is done in grace. So we need to see Jesus every day. As I read this passage, like I said earlier, I was so overwhelmed by the patience of Jesus. It convicted me. Because I'm not a very patient teacher. I hate having to repeat myself. I hate having to teach people over and over again. And I realised that in that moment I failed to love as Jesus loves me. So I read that 2 Corinthians passage about Christ's love compels us. Jesus is so patient with his disciples and us. Every day Jesus is at work growing us. That doesn't mean he won't challenge us, but he's always allowing our circumstances to test us to see if we'll trust him. But what we see is a God who never gives up on us. Each day growing and growing and growing. And if you follow Jesus, he will never give up on you. He gave up on the Pharisees, but he never gave up on you. No matter how many times you fail to get it. You can see this in the passage. That God's grace is at work. That his love and patience of Jesus is on our side. And how does Jesus grow us? Well, think about what we've been doing today. We've been studying his word, knowing Jesus more, so then we can grow. It's there we experience Jesus. His words will build you to have a clearer vision of him. And he will challenge you to see who he is. But just as his same grace and patience is at work in us, in our lives, we are to replicate it as we disciple others. Jesus never writes off anyone as a lost cause. We do, don't we? We go, lost cause. Lost cause. He writes off the Pharisees, but not those who want to follow him. Disciples clearly fail and fail the test over and over again. You'd think they would have got it by now, but Jesus is patient, sometimes frustrated, but patient, and never gives up, especially to those who follow him. Our problem is, we think that people are write off, and we so easily give up. Jesus had plenty to write these people off with. They were stupid. They were stupid. And Jesus has plenty to write you off with, but he doesn't. And just as you've got probably plenty of things that you could think of to write someone else off, Jesus doesn't do that to you. And Jesus never gave up teaching them, nor he never gives up teaching you. Don't mistake the Pharisee for the disciple. Okay? They're coming with two different ideas. Pharisee is coming to argue, to stir, to test. Disciples want to follow. They want to understand Jesus. They're not arrogant like the Pharisees. They may be stupid just like the Pharisees. I'd like the disciples because I'm stupid like them. Just as Jesus teaches them patiently, we need to lovingly teach others patiently. That means stop seeing people as a lost cause and start loving them as Jesus loves you. Who patiently is at work in you. Rather than seeing problems and circumstances, see opportunities to grow. Jesus could have said, I have enough. I give up. But he didn't. And we are all disciples who make disciples. You can easily open up the Bible and encourage another believer. That's one solution. That's one opportunity. So what about your life today? How is Jesus challenging your heart? What's stopping you from seeing who Jesus really is? I wonder where Jesus is in your life. Is he in the boat? And if he's not in the boat, why not? What's stopping you from seeing him? Do you want to love like Jesus loves? That's gracious and patient. That transforms others. You know, shouldn't we be patient with our spouses, with our kids, with other believers? Shouldn't we never give up growing others? Even if we have to go over and over the same thing again. Because Jesus does that for us. When we fail to love like Jesus and stop thinking as Jesus do, we need to sit, look at ourselves and say, what's going on? Have I missed who Jesus is? Am I blurry to see who Jesus is? And get on our knees and pray. and ask Jesus to help us. Ask Jesus to help us to love and be patient with others as he is patient and loving with us. Jesus is patiently calling us today to see him, but will you respond? Will Jesus challenge and change you? Let's pray. Father, thank you that right from the beginning, you were patient with your creation. We see this right throughout the Old Testament. So many times, your people failed. And yet you patiently kept going. Thank you, Lord, for amazing grace. Amazing patience. Lord, help us through the power of your Spirit in us to have that in us, active to our family, to our friends. Lord, we know there are times when Pharisees come and we will have to say enough is enough. But Lord, to those who want to hear you, to those who want to follow you, Lord, let us see your love, your patience. Help us to do this, we pray. We need your help in this. Thank you, Lord, for graciously reminding us again of who you are. And Lord, we love you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's have a coffee and enjoy some encouragement around extra fellowship.